We would like to advise that the following program may contain adult themes, occasional nudity, and language that may offend some listeners.
Thank God it's...
Welcome to the Lindley Evans Studio at the ABC for another edition of Thank God It's Friday. I'm Richard Glover, and please welcome our panel this week. It's Tommy Dean, Rebecca De Unamuno, and Tahir. And our audience this week from Tom Curry, Old Bar, Woi Woi, Gwendolyn, Gwyong, and Gyra. Yeah. First, as always, here is the news from nowhere. King Charles has just this week been given a copy of the first British banknotes featuring his image, replacing that of the late Queen. But in Australia, he can forget it. The Reserve Bank has other plans for the $5 note. Now, some people are outraged, but others say, who cares? Cash is on the way out anyway. Well, my theory is that we will miss cash once it's gone. Who's with me? Yes. For a start, cash helps blur the realities of your spending. With cash, you could claim that your pay packet was consumed by only virtuous spending, supermarket shopping, a sandwich for lunch, and the odd $2 for the Wilderness Society koala. The credit card statement, however, is a less forgiving document. Unless there's another Dan Murphy who's collecting money for Catholic nuns... Well, it's a possibility given the name. It's suddenly enormously clear where your money is going. Cash also represented an automatic savings scheme. Every man in the country had a man jar somewhere in his bedroom into which he would tip whatever coins were left in his pockets. The man jar would build over time, as would the coins in the dark recesses of a woman's purse. Sometimes they contained close to $50. Sure, it was mostly in 20-cent pieces, but for me it's a sign of self-confidence to pay for lunch for two with 20-cent coins. Oh, Richard, why are you so generous? I thought you were a tightwad. Oh, no worries, love. It's from the man jar. It's essentially free money. Talking about free money, cash also allowed one of life's most blissful moments, the discovery of a crumpled $20 in the pocket of an old pair of jeans. One moment you'd be skint, the next lining up for coffee and cake. Show me a credit card that can double your liquid assets in the time it takes to root around a pocket. Or you could find money down the back of the couch or in the footwell of the car or the money box of your firstborn child. In the digital age, you can root around all you like down the back of the couch and you never find a fresh Amex card raring to go. Without the existence of cash, it's also hard to get a start in life. In my youth, it was impossible to pass by a phone box without checking the coin return slot. Who else did that? Whole fortunes were made. Ditto the reject slot in the parking meter or in a cigarette vending machine. Cash also led to tips. When the Sydney Sun newspaper went to 12 cents from its previous 10 cents, my profits as a paper boy went through the roof. People thought it was mean to give you 15 cents and demand 3 cents in return, so I got to keep the change. If only Rupert Murdoch had made the same decision with the Daily Mirror, I could have retired at 17 with a yacht and a fancy car. This easy largesse is not available with credit cards. Restaurants now either add the tip, irrespective of the service, or require you to press yes or no to a tip while they stand there with an EFTPOS machine and a hopeful look. Don't you hate it? Cash also led to kindness. On the Sydney Harbour Bridge, it was common to hand over an extra 20 cents to pay for the car behind you. Try asking your e-toll tag to throw in an extra beep and see how you go. The notes themselves were important, so important they were given affectionate nicknames. The $20 note was the lobster, the $50 a pineapple, the $100 in the unlikely event you ever came across one was a, who knows this, a grey nurse. Gulgong near Mudgee called itself the town on the $10 note. They listened to TGIF. It was a tourist campaign that was in ruins when the Reserve Bank removed Henry Lawson and thus Gulgong when the tenor went polymer. And I guess they had to repaint the sign outside the town that used to be on the $10 note. Of course, there's an upside to the disappearance of cash, particularly for those in small business. I spent much of my adolescence rolling coins, each day's takings from my father's news agency. Some aspects of my childhood were not ideal, but I always find it hard to make a plea for sympathy about my childhood since my hands were literally black from handling the family money. Perhaps we should let King Charles have the $5 note after all. It could prove my argument. Cash is still king. And that's the news from nowhere. Tommy's here, Rebecca's here, Tahir's here. Welcome.
Thank you.
Cash, you know, it just occurred to me that we need to ask, why are we getting paid in cash?
Yeah. You want the folding stuff?
I just suddenly realized that that's what it should be like. We should do the show, and then when the laugh comes big, you reach into your pocket and throw a $5 note our way.
Yeah.
I'm willing to take the risk, like a door deal.
If the joke's no good, you know.
I'll give it back. Yeah, there you go. That's right. I'm in.
Hang on, Tommy. Hang on. We get paid?
Can I pay 20 cents for a not very good...
I'll take a bet.
Now, let's check you up with this week's news. Who was caught training on the wrong sort of tracks?
Well, this is the story of a particular horse, quite an adventurous horse, who was captured on CCTV on a platform of a train station at Warwick Farm, who was just running along. Like, I saw the footage just trotting along happily, but first thing I thought of was, where's your Opal card? Because I've been denied entry to many a station when I have to top it up. I'm a little concerned about that.
You were looking for an Opal card machine?
Yeah, that's right. He needed to top up. But the train stopped. And then it looked like at one point that the horse was going to get on the train. And I thought, well, horses have things to do, don't they? Mm.
Places to go,
things to see. But I think that's extraordinary. But apparently they've had several animals on railways. Like they've had cows, lots of cows. No, that's it, just cows.
Cows are like the traditional train animal. Like that's what's called a cow catcher on the front of a train. I don't know if you have them on suburban trains. But
yeah, and
the American train, that's sort of a triangle.
Oh, is that called a cow catcher?
Cow pusher?
Cool.
Cow killer?
Cow tipper.
But that's what that triangle push is on a steam train when you ever watch Western.
It's just an attractive bit of iron mongery.
Yes. That's right. There was nothing but goodwill in the old West of America. The tracks were built by people that wanted to do it and were paid well for their labor.
And simply sang those songs because they were happy.
And the animals that accidentally wandered onto the track, we would bring the train to a stop. And then someone would go out and walk them back to the farm they came from, fix the fence, and then get back on the train. And none of the passengers would complain about the extra time because they thought it was a sensible solution.
It's good to know. Tahir, what did you think of this this training on the wrong tracks, really?
Yeah, thank you for that. I did see the vision, Rebecca, and it was very strange because I thought the first thing that came to my head was the cost of living is really bad these days. Even the animals are trying to get a free ride. But I don't know if you know the real story, Richard. Like, the real story, it didn't come out in media, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad you're here because I can reveal the real story. It was definitely it was a young colt. I know there's a fact that I did my research. It was a young colt. Definitely not a mare, not a female horse, because they're not stupid enough to attempt this sort of thing, right? It was a male young colt, and it was a bunch of stallions, apparently. It was basically a prank, and they got him around and they said, listen, mate, Warwick Farm is not where you want to be. And the young colt didn't know, obviously. He had no idea. He goes, well, where should I be? He goes, mate, you've got to get to Randwick. That's where the action is, right? Not in Warwick Farm. Nothing happens at Warwick Farm. You saw the station was empty.
Yeah, and let's face it, the light rail, there's no stairs. Wouldn't have to negotiate that.
Well, I thought the reason that he was like aware that you could tell that he was confused about whether or not he should get on.
Yes, because it was a prank gone wrong.
Well, that was one idea. My other thought was that maybe it was because he was worried, because they're very clear about fining you for putting your feet on the seats. He's like, why the long face?
Okay, I will move on. We got
finally.
We saved the toy. We saved it at the end.
He's also in a stable condition, but you know. Who's made a date with the legal system over some dates that didn't work out?
I love this story so much. This is a story of Stuart Lucas Murray from California, who's suing 50 women for defamation after they shared reports about what a lazy date he was on a Facebook page called "Are We Dating the Same Guy?" This is now Los Angeles court has now thrown out the case.
Thrown out one of the cases. Well, 49 to go, I think.
Well, they'll be gone too. But this is this guy Stuart complaining of. Get this, you ready for this? Emotional stress, PTSD, things I've heard of, right? We've heard of, but then a new one, mortification. What? You can't just grab words and then make up emotional disorders. Like, oh, I'm suffering from outrageousness. not to mention surprisification. Yeah. You can.
I got a bad case of what are you doing-ism?
Not being able to get a date again, vacation. Basically, if you put vacation on any word, you can just suffer from it, right? But I actually love these ladies because, and their fortitude, vacation. because when they invented Facebook, this is exactly what they meant. What it was meant to be used for, not for like some boring meal that you share. No, that's boring, but getting together, sharing notes and experiences and a general warning to others, hey, this guy's a jerk, right? He said, the glue of the group is hatred for men. No, it's a hatred for you.
Now, Rebecca, you must have some sympathy. This poor
many
guy,
opinions.
He's dated these 50 women and they all say he's a dud.
I know. And I received the letter from the lawyer the other day and I said this will be thrown out of court.
You're 51.
That's right. But that's the thing, if it's on Facebook, and you're right, Tahir, that is what Facebook is. That's why they created Facebook Marketplace, so that you can just shop for men online. It's great. But apparently there are all of these new...
The Facebook Marketplace is full of damaged goods. So
it is. That's right. It's full of damaged goods. Problem is, you've got to try and return them.
Someone said, oh, in the crowd, about this guy.
That's true. But there's, this is interesting because there's a real change in the dating world. Like, I've done all of the dating. I did online dating before it was apps, you know, like when you had to spend 3 hours filling out 35 pages about yourself. And then I tried the apps and all that kind of stuff. But now they've got apps, they're starting dating apps where you have to put, you get your credit rating on there. And I said, I will never, ever have sex again. Because it'd be negative 952.
So is that the first thing that comes up? A credit rating?
It's on your
That's
profile.
Weird. Isn't that
it's
weird, though? Like, is that what you want? Like, you know, like, oh, it's all getting hot and heavy. And you're like, yell out, what's your superannuation?
Yeah. Do you have a nest egg?
When you reach a certain age, the answer is yes.
And then there's another one where I saw this story a couple of weeks ago where there's a running club that's to try and find love whilst running. And I said, are you kidding me? Now I have to prove that I've got money, which I'm a performer, and then now I have to run?
Yeah. You have to get huffy puffy to get huffy puffy.
You have to get... Well, trust me, I'd break out in a sweat more running.
You get further running too. Yeah, Tom, what do you feel for this poor fellow?
You know, well, first what I feel is a little bit of admiration. I mean...
I knew it.
He's just kept coming back.
No, because you're from the States. I thought, first thing they do is sue, right? This is an Australian bloke. He would have said... He would have advertised this, used it to his advantage.
Yeah. I'm just saying, why would you keep coming back? Like, at what point do you just, like... Like, first off, I wouldn't take it to court because then you're asking them to come out in public.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's made this much more aware of who he is now. Yeah. But more than that, at what point do you think, maybe it's me? Like, one or two. Like, to put it in terms of stand-up comedy, if I do a show and it doesn't go well, then I can maybe there was a weird audience. And then the next night, it doesn't go well at a new place, and maybe they followed me. And then the next night... in a different town. But I'm saying that if at the 25th show that it's falling apart, I'm starting to think maybe I need to have a look at myself. I'm not taking everyone in Australia to court to sue them for emotional distress because they didn't understand my attempted humor.
And mortification.
And I was mortified.
Yeah, mortified.
Mortified.
But an Australian guy would definitely have used it. Like, they said, come and date the loser who, you know, with 50 verifications and references. And people would do it, right? But like, people say, yeah, we've got to date this guy.
Just see if 50 people are wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. And I can just see it now. There'd be a film about this. And it'd be an amazing courtroom drama and it'd be called A Few Good Men.
Okay, last question from this week's news. Who is scrabbling around, it is said, in the ruins of Western civilization? Scrabbling around.
Look, as the panel's board game expert, what we are talking about here is the great game of Scrabble, one of the great testing grounds of vocabulary and family patience. And Scrabble Now wants to do a version called Scrabble Together, where instead of playing for points and being competitive, you all work together.
As a team.
As a team to make letters become words.
And they give you little hints along the way to help you, because they say that sometimes Scrabble is a bit kind of, you know, difficult for people.
It is difficult. And that's why I think Scrabble has hit upon this, because I think what a lot of adults miss is kindergarten. You know, back when letters were pictures and words made no sense. What sort of crazy puzzle have the adults done where they can put these weird pictures together and make a word? So grow up is what I'm saying. I appreciate playing friendly. I've played Scrabble many times where you don't keep points. We used to play what we called existential Scrabble, where you tried to expose your soul, like a tarot Scrabble, and then whatever word you played spoke to who you were at the moment.
Right.
You know, like you would pose a question.
Mortified, M-O.
Yeah. 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 How do you feel about me today? And you put down, you know, happy. Oh, he's happy. Yeah. And you got to make the word contextual to the moment that you're having.
That's great.
That's a lot of fun.
Tahir would be okay because he could just use all these made-up words.
Yeah, like, oh, my God.
No.
Mortification. What do you think about the theory this shows how weak the world has become, that we can't even do something as simple as have a bit of competition over Scrabble?
Yeah, that's my point. I mean, look, I've never played Scrabble, to be honest. I've heard of it. I've seen it. What? English
is... No, you are right to judge him. Your reaction was exactly correct.
What? Relax. English second language. Take it easy, right? Take it easy. But this story did make me laugh. It is a sign of the times because Scrabble goes woke, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's Scrabble... Scrabble, they've become double-sided, encourage players, right, because some people find it intimidating. Intimidating. The board is to be sold with the original version on one side and simplified version on the other side, which is, okay, look, I say to people who find Scrabble intimidating, don't play. It's very easy. I'm scared of heights. You know what I find intimidating? Skydiving. You know what I do about it? You know what I do? I avoid it. I don't say to them, listen, I want to go skydiving, but listen, can you make the plane go really, really low? Like 2 metres from the ground, and then I'll just jump. The parachute will come after. Like, but yeah. Don't call it Scrabble, because Scrabble now identifies as Monopoly. It's separate. It's different now. Games are now identified as different games. Yeah. It's gone woke. I don't know.
I'm imagining that you bought the deluxe version of Scrabble and that you just used the board as a lazy Susan for a messy plate.
That's a good idea.
No, that is a good idea.
That's a really good idea.
Rebecca, is this a sign that Western civilization is over?
Yes, we're doomed. Absolutely, we're doomed. Because now, like, remember when I was a kid and I was growing up in the 80s, you know, you competed in athletics carnivals, swimming carnivals, art competitions, all that kind of stuff, and there was a winner. Now everyone's a winner, baby. Isn't that true? And you just go, where's the resilience in people? That's what I'm now. I sound like my grandparents might talk.
I agree.
What's going on? I'm almost 50. And so I just think that there's this real sort of like, we've got to make things easy for everyone. Don't make things hard.
But even Tommy said there's no scoreboard when you play. That was the...
No, but you can do it that way. But by the same token, I've in my head mentally scored every word that you've said so far.
Like, as Rebecca said,
oddly, Tahir is winning.
But there's no
he
like,
you
like
more W's.
We give out like some really stupid awards. You know, like we can't, because every child gets a participation certificate. What for? Just for turning up. Just for turning up. And we give out some stupid awards like this one, the most stupid. Like, I hate this award more than any other award. Hope my kids never win this award. Most improved. That has got to be the crappiest award ever. Mm. What does it mean? Last year, crap. This year, a little bit less crap.
Well, you know, I bought this new car and it's got about 15 cup holders in it, which I figure is more than the average teenage soccer team, because they're all cup holders, right?
Yeah. But without Scrabble, my favourite joke at the moment is...
Don't turn on me, ladies and gentlemen.
Some people clapped.
My favourite is you learn the magic of, you know, obscure two-letter words. That's what Scrabble's great strength is. And so now we talk a lot about the dangers of AI.
Yeah.
But in my mind...
Sorry. Two-legged South American sloth.
Bam! And that's exactly the fun. And every time they're saying,
I was just going to say, what do you call
humanity,
me?
I went, well, when they wake up. When they wake up, here they come.
Tommy Dean, Rebecca Day, Unamuno and Tahir. Thank God it's Friday on your radio.
Thank God it's Friday with Richard Glover.
And Tommy Dean, Rebecca Day, Unamuno and Tahir, who plays the Sydney Comedy Store Saturday, May 4th. With his show, it's called Tahir's Insane Night of Stand-Up, Bad Magic and Spontaneous Comedy. It's part of the Sydney Comedy Festival.
That's it. That was one of the best weather reports I've ever heard.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Let's go to the weather. What's happening? Nothing's happening.
Do you really do bad magic in your show?
Yeah, I do actually, yeah. But sometimes I do, like the worse the magic trick, the more the audience seem to really like it. So, yeah, magicians...
Are you sure that's true?
It's actually true. Yeah. Then I pull off a good trick and they go, oh, my God, he just did something.
Yeah. Has it felt with 49 audiences and you're just waiting for that 50th audience?
Like, but by the way, you show that CD to the audience. Yeah. I'm thinking, like, if this is like a proper show like Ellen DeGeneres, you would have said, everybody's getting one. And the audience would have gone, like, fully sick. They would have gone off.
Okay, I do you a deal. Whoever's word gets chosen for the Wheel of Death gets Greg.
Oh,
Archer's
I like
day.
That.
What about that?
That's good.
That's good, right?
Now we're doing something.
And then I'll grab it from you on the way out.
Now, a new study published in the journal Nature Human Behaviour has proved the virtues of touch, saying a hug can cure depression and anxiety, even if you're just hugging a robot or some other machine. What's your relationship to the machines in your life? And have you ever thought of giving them a little hug? Tommy Dean.
Well, I'm currently dealing with HR over this. My argument to HR is I arrived early to work. I had not put on my proper glasses, and I thought the nurse was the vacuum cleaner. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. It's become uncomfortable because now, just to make sure that I have a, you know, historical grounding, and me and the refrigerator are very close. There was.
I thought the refrigerator was a bit cold on you.
Well, that's. Yeah, it does give me the cold shoulder a bit. But then the coffee machine, clearly hot for me. A little bit frothy. That's very
I think funny. The coffee machine finds you a bit of a grind.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, that's very good. That's fun. And I think it's stupid. I think it's entirely stupid. This idea of just, you know, I just don't believe that a hug of anything. Ooh, hold on, I'm just going to hug my mic stand right here. Oh, I feel so much closer now. Ooh, I was getting all nervous about how that was going, but now I don't even care.
It looks normal, though.
Yeah.
Just leave that mic stand alone.
Well, I mean, to be fair, did you see how that guy was playing the stand-up bass?
Yeah. He loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was, if you couldn't see that in radio
land.
He was
very loving.
But that was very loving, so...
Yeah. And Greg into the microphone too.
Tahir, what a voice! Do you give your machines a little hug?
No, look, I am a hugger. I love hugging. That's my. But I'm gonna have to now cancel my subscription to Nature Human Behaviour. You can't have a journal called. Yeah, I used to subscribe. Like I was, it was. Yeah.
Oh, who doesn't?
Exactly. Yeah. Me, I don't.
Oh, you don't. That's right.
But you kind of have a journal called Nature Human Behaviour, and then they publish a story about hugging robots or your phone. Like, it's contradictory,
right?
It
should be called Human Robot Behaviour.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, so they've gone completely. So do not fall in love with your phones, for example. People love their phones. Now, our phones have all heard this, and from previous phones and common knowledge amongst all the phones, they say don't get close too close to human beings because eventually we'll all be replaced. So the phones know this, right? So don't start hugging them and starting a relationship, but hug people, but not machines. Like, you know, we are their rulers, right? I know that. I can give them life or kill them. The machines know this. And in my life, consequently, they respect me.
So you're saying machines respond to authoritarian...
Exactly. We give machines life.
Dictatorships.
Well, we give machines life. Some machines actually exploit this. They know this. I go back to phones as an example. They all laugh when they are down to 5% charge and they give us human beings enormous stress. They know this, right? Oh, my God, I got 5%. What do you think a blackout is? Huh? Nothing but machines having a laugh at our expense and watch humans go into panic. But when the machines see us in a blackout reading books by a candle, they panic. Yeah. Okay, the joke is over. Everybody, we're back on.
But you can't kill your fridge. If you kill your fridge, your meat will go off.
Well, no, I'm not saying, like, not the fridge.
Oh, I see. You have some sort of class system.
Of course. That is life.
If you keep the beer cold, you stay alive.
Some machines are more important than others. We all know that.
Rebecca, do you hug your machines?
Look, I'm not going to rage against the machine. I'm just simply going to say that I am a little bit embarrassed, but I feel like I'm amongst friends. And
this won't go anywhere.
Okay, thank you. So I'm finally willing to share. I know I've spoken a lot about relationships, Richard, earlier. I've just spoke about relationships, but I am actually in a relationship. Thank you. With my television. It's so great. I finally know what it's like to have something to come home to. I get excited that I'm able to listen to it and to watch its stories. I often talk to it. I do. Sometimes I talk back at it. I fall asleep next to it. Sometimes I wake up next to it. You know, at the beginning it was giving me obvious signals. Andy is pretty hot after several hours. When it annoys me or I disagree with it, I can literally push the mute button. It's incredible. And just between you and I know how to turn it on.
Rebecca, to you, Muno, Tommy Dean, right here on Thank God It's Friday. Are you ready to play the Wheel of Death, ladies and gentlemen? Rebecca will take it on this week. Today's topics and a prize to whoever's topic comes up is a scientist, TikTok, hot curry, data, yachts, stomach, balloons, sink, pyjamas, comedy, water bubbler, worms, night sweats, and, well, AI, which, as we all know, is a two-toed South American sloth.
Tommy, please.
No, I'm not doing it.
Please,
no,
you have to correct
it.
There are people listening that are screaming at the radio right now.
We believe it's a three-toed.
Three-toed, sorry.
But I didn't want to correct you earlier.
No, three-toed.
Richard, most improved. That's for you.
Rebecca, which one fills you full of fear?
Look, night sweats and stomach are pretty fear-inducing because I'm perimenopausal and I'm having problems with both.
Well, round and round it goes for the prize. Where it stops, nobody knows.
This is exciting.
I put too much WD-40 in this, didn't I? It's hot curry!
Hot curry!
Who suggested hot curry?
Who gets the prize?
Yeah, sir! Hey. Can you catch?
There you go. Brilliant.
He sort of looks excited.
Yeah. Stoked. Hot curry. All right. Oh, gosh, okay.
Let's talk about the television.
Yeah. No, that's between them and I. Okay, hot curry. right, how you doing? Yeah, great. Yeah, it's good to be here. It's fantastic, actually, to be here. Like, I just woke up, yeah, because I am a musician. That's right. That's right. I'm in a band. We got a lot of hits that no one's heard. We got a lot of albums that have never been made. But we are the kind of band that got together because we were influenced in the 70s by a lot of disco music. Yeah. And our favourite band at the time, if you knew that heaven was in the backseat of your Cadillac, you'd be thinking Hot Chocolate, wouldn't you? Yeah. That's right, yeah. But see, I'm from London, so we named our band Hot Curry. Lot to take us through some of our greatest hits, hits in our minds, but not in the charts. All right. So, heaven's in the back seat of my Cadillac. What's ours? Heaven's at the chippy at 5 a.m. Look, if I could think of any other hot chocolate songs right now, this would go a lot better. So let me just tell you how I got started. I bet you're wondering, what does he play? I don't, I sing. Yeah, I like to make love to the microphone. I'm in a relationship with the microphone. And some of our songs... Oh, I just remember the title of one of my songs. It's called Accidentalism. It's by Tahir. He just came up to me one day at Lincoln Centre and he said to me, "Here, I've written this song." And I said, "Oh, give it up. I'm constantly getting them on the back of napkins at the chippy." Anyway, the band is made up of myself, my brother Phil, and my mum. She's a percussionist, or as we like to say, a tambourinlier. Anyway, we like to keep it in the family. My dad's not interested. He's decided to be the manager of Hot Curry. Yeah, he's got us a few gigs. We're playing summer festivals, much to people's disappointment, because it's very hot there. But needless to say, we've got a fan club, that's right. It's just not to do with being enjoying our music. It's just to do with, like, being able to fan yourself when you eat a curry. Because every guest, when they come, and if their word is selected in an improvised song we do, we give them a curry and not a CD. Anyway, I've got to go now. We're going to go have a rehearsal. We're rehearsing at the local church hall just because it's open. Anyway, I'm going to go off. We're working on our new song. I can't quite get the lyrics to finalise for this this new song. It's been a real hard one trying to come up with a word, you know, like a word that's really meaningful and scores highly on Scrabble. Anyway, I've taken up too much of your time, too much of your time, but if you are happening to walk past Warwick Farm Station at any point and you see a horse, do what it does. Come and see me and give me a coin when I'm busking. Oh, no, that's right, cashless society. It's okay, I've got a little thingy you can tap on. Thanks very much for your time.
Tahir and our lovely audience, thank you for coming.
Who would unbelieve the Wheel of Death, but you can see it live. They're yep. Brilliant. See, on the spot.
I really want to buy Hot Curry's album.
But, you know, for copyright reasons, we need to cut out the song, right? So all the lovely reference to Nature Boy and the delivery of the song idea to Nat King Cole, he was going to say, why is she referencing that? Because that will all be cut out of the podcast.
Mm. That's okay.
Doesn't matter, but you
heard
a lot.
Use your imagination.
Now, the death this week of Peter Higgs, who came up with the notion of the Higgs boson, which explains, apparently, how matter formed after the Big Bang. Don't ask me for any...
So immature.
My knowledge is, like everybody on radio, wide but very, very, very shallow.
Yeah. Like the universe itself.
Like the universe itself. I won't take any questions on this. But what's interesting is that it took 50 years for his theory to be proved correct via the experiments at the Large Hadron Collider. So what's the theory that you developed 3, 4, or 5 decades ago that remains unproved by science so far, Tahir?
Well, as a kid, I realised that falling asleep on the couch is easier than a bed. That's it. That's my theory.
Was there a TV
involved?
You
want more? Okay, I want to build a giant lounge room collider to prove your theory.
Well, that's the thing. I saw the same theory in my kids, right? So sound asleep, as soon as you lift them to bed, they cannot sleep anymore. So I think Tommy, you're onto something. Huh? I think we've got it all backwards. My theory is that we should have couches in our bedrooms and sleep on them and then watch TV in the living room on beds.
Because you wouldn't fall asleep during the product drama because you'd be on a bed.
Yeah, exactly. So another theory of – I disagree with you, Richard. I'm not sure what I agree with.
I just think it's a shame you've cancelled your subscription to Nature Human Behaviour because it's sure to be featured in the next issue.
After the robots, I couldn't do it anymore. Another theory on the cost of living and saving money is if you sleep till noon, you only have to pay for 2 meals instead of 3. Again, the theory is unproven.
Does it matter what device you slept on?
No, it doesn't because you're still saving money.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, all right, good.
So just...
I just don't want your research to be, you know, messed up.
I just love the idea that the Reserve Bank, all the economists in the Reserve Bank are working so hard there at Martin Place trying to solve the cost of living crisis, and Tahir has done it for them, and they probably aren't even listening.
Exactly. And staying
everybody should stay in bed till 1 p.m.
And staying on the cost of living, theme, a theory I've developed and used for decades, in order to avoid parking fees, several things you can do, just park anywhere you like. But pop the bonnet. That's it. Pop the bonnet, just walk away, go about your business, then you come back.
Yeah, that's all right. I think it's better to surround your own car with police tape.
Or you can
chalk outline.
No, that's silly, Tommy.
Or you can remove the wipers, windscreen wipers, and then they can't give you a fine. That's another way. These are theories.
They're good theories. Rebecca, what's the theory of yours, maybe decades ago, but yet to be proved by science?
Well, my theory is that I can predict the winner of every competitive reality game show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I have. Every single one I watch, and it's always in the first episode. Usually Project Runway, Top Chef might take till episode 2. RuPaul's Drag Race, straight up, I'm like, that's the winner. And I have been right ever since these shows aired.
Is there any way you can use this knowledge to your own advantage?
Well, yes, if I started betting money on myself, I reckon, started a book, I could make some cash on it. But no one's proved that this is right. No one can prove it because I live alone and my television knows. That's what attracted it to me.
So you see a reality show,
I just have a knack for picking talent.
Yep.
Yep, which, because I have been considering, not performing anymore, maybe transitioning into another job. And so I thought of the idea, I know what I'll do. Because I can pick talent in reality shows all the time, I thought I'm going to start a talent, a management agency, and I'm going to call it De Numero Uno Agency.
I love it.
And it says we're number one underneath.
Yeah, but what happens in your waiting room when the prospective cast of Alone Australia meets the prospective cast of RuPaul meets the prospective cast Come Dance With Me. What happens?
Well, I say, let's go see Hot Curry. They're playing at the local church.
Tommy Dean, what's your theory, decades old, that has yet to be proved correct by science?
I believe, and this has, it was at age 10 that my mother insisted that all of us do our own laundry as the boys in the house. So I've been doing my own laundry since age 10. And it was at that point that even though all of society's narrative suggests that socks come in pairs, I believe them to be fierce individualists. Who absolutely hate to be with their own kind.
Yeah.
Science has not proved me right yet. They continue to be matched at birth. But as soon as you give them a chance.
Where do you think they go?
They will somehow change their stripes. I went to America recently. Whenever I go to America, there's a weird American trait that I have, but I go to America like once every 5 years, and I buy all of my socks and underwear from there. And I come home, and I dole it out to myself over a five-year period. On my last trip, 2 years ago, I bought 12 times 3. I could do the math, but I'm not going to.
It may be 36.
I bought that many socks.
It may be 36, which represents at least 4 South American sloths.
Yes, exactly. Everyone exactly the same, so that this issue would no longer be a problem. They could be as individual as they want, and I could pair them as I saw fit. I would feel they matched. They would know they were different. Everybody would be happy.
I like it. I like it. But sometimes...
Now they've changed. I've got 6 different kinds of socks now. They are evolving in my drawers.
It's a good theory because sometimes you just see one sock. You can't find the other one because it's escaped.
Where do you think it goes, Tahi?
I think it's escaped. As Tommy said, Tommy's series.
It's at Warwick Farm Station.
Where else would it go?
I think it's down the front of the pants of the bassist for Hot Curry.
To be fair, some of them just melt. I am just convinced that there is no way that much lint comes out of the dryer. Some of them just give it up and go back to their constituent parts.
Yeah, yeah.
I refuse to be defined as a sock anymore. I wanted to be a sweater. This is as close as I'll get.
One day science will prove you right. Now, Donald Trump this week compared himself to Nelson Mandela, while Vladimir Putin decided to compare himself to Jesus. Who are the historical figures who most clearly resemble yourself? Rebecca?
Oh, gosh. There were so many that popped into my... No. I was thinking hard about this, and I thought there were some that I went, ooh, maybe Isabella, Queen of Spain. And then I went, oh, no, she did some really bad things. And then I thought, ooh, maybe Amelia Earhart. And I thought, no, I can't fly a plane. So all these things, there was like things I went, ooh, I've got an adventurous spirit, but I have no pilot license. And I know where I am. All these things kept popping into my head.
Too early?
too soon.
Too soon. But then I thought, okay, all right, I finally put it down to I could be a famous character from literature. And I went, right, perfect. Brilliant story. Have you heard this one, Tahir?
No.
You should read this book. It's incredible. It's by an author called Hargraves, and the book is incredible. Not very long. It's called Little Miss Chatterbox. It's really, really interesting. It's really good. And I thought, oh, that's it. That's what I resemble. But then I thought, no. I figured it out. I'm not going to be specific. I do resemble all female politicians. And the reason for this is because in the world of comedy, I too am the only woman on the bill. See what I did there?
Nah. Comedy but politics, it all comes together on Thank God It's Friday. Tahir, which historical figures do you represent?
Well, Donald Trump and Nelson Mandela, well, yeah, I can see the similarities. It's scary. But I wasn't sure, like, on this question, like Rebecca, so I asked my wife this question and she came up with, are you ready for this? Burke and Wills. Yeah,
because you're lost.
For stopping and refusing to ask for directions. She's listening, by the way. I know where I'm going. Look, the men eventually made it to the Gulf of Carpentaria. You know the story. This is from my history teaching days. And only John King survived out of the original party. Why? Because lack of water, that's why. They could not carry enough water. I can see their wives before they left. Yeah, please, carry some water. No, we'll be right. No, carry some water, 2 litre, like, you know, here's a Frankengreen I bought for you. Just carry it, right? But, yeah, look, another one, Albert Einstein. Because, yeah.
Your wife suggested this.
My wife suggested that because I just let go of the story. I've had enough of that last one. We've got a good laugh out of it. Move on. She also said Albert Einstein because I have my own theory of relativity. When relatives come over, I would disappear.
I'm out of there.
Tommy, who do you compare yourself to?
Look, just you have to follow with me because it's. I think sometimes these things get taken out of context, but I believe Judas. But only in the sense that whenever I go out with all of my male friends, I always get stuck with the chick. That's all. I'm just saying I have to pay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm at the meal. I didn't get what I wanted. And I have to pay for it.
Yeah.
I mean, people add a lot of other stuff to Judas, but I'm just saying in that one specific instance,
yeah,
I'm the guy holding the bag.
Yeah.
With the pieces of silver.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? He didn't even... And they, you broke the bread, you bought it.
And also, it's hard to pay for a whole meal when you're all sitting on one side of a table looking one way, and you think, why have they sat at us at that table?
It makes no sense. I know. And it seems like we could just... It was so easy to split the bill.
Winners and losers, just quickly. Rebecca.
The winners are cinema fans. I don't know if you've seen it, but the trailer for the sequel to The Joker, Todd Phillips, The Joker came out, Joker Folie Deux, and I can't stop watching it. And it's Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga, and trust me, watch the trailer. It has, at the end of it, the most perfect cinema shot ever. Trust me, I can predict winners.
That's the winner. Winners and losers to hear.
We know Sydney Comedy Festival is around again, so support the arts, and even if not my show, but support a book for a show you've never seen, an artist you may have never heard of. Loser, AUKUS, story came out this week. The Japan might join, but they really haven't thought through the name, because then they'd have to add J to the name, making it Jackass.
And on that glorious note... Please thank Tommy Dean, Rebecca De Unamuno, and Tahir. Remember to go and see Tahir's show. It's at the Sydney Comedy Festival on Saturday, May 4th, and he promises some bad magic, among other things. Thanks for being part of Thank God It's Friday. Next week, Bridie Connell, James Colley, and Tommy Dean. Music from the cast of the new production of Grease the Musical. Until then, I'm Richard Glover, and thank God it's Friday! Yeah!